Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. That's found on page 1606, page 1606, actually 1607 is where we'll begin reading. But Romans chapter 6, we'll be reading a number of verses there, 5 through 13. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And we read there at verse 5, "For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd also like to read for you just a portion of the Heidelberg Catechism. I don't ask you to turn to it, but I'd like to read three questions and answers for you. Question and answers 88, 89, and 90 from Lord's Day 33. This is a portion of the catechism that I invite, or I declare that my catechism class would learn and be tested on. So I always tell them it's fairly easy to memorize this part of the Heidelberg Catechism, because there's a real flow to it, a real rhythm to it, and you'll hear that in a moment. So the first question is, what is involved in genuine repentance, as we're thinking about the life of repentance, about what repentance means? What is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? And the answer is two things. And here's where the rhythm comes: the dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. All right, so say that with me. The dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. You got it? Good. All right, so then it asked, what is the dying away of the old self? And the answer, it is to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it. Those three things. And then what is the coming to life of the new self? On the other hand, what's the coming to life? It is wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to. And so we're thinking about that also as we go through the messages this morning, the dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. I hope that kind of becomes a rhythm in your own life as you think about that. And then, of course, as we read in Scripture. And so we hear these words now that God is speaking to us through his servant. Beloved in Christ, from the first moment each of us was conceived, we have been dying. We're all dying. Our bodies are getting older and more broken down as the years go by, and one day our hearts will stop beating, our lungs will stop breathing, our neurons will stop blazing. I most notice this when I look at people's skin, a baby's skin, so silky, smooth, soft, and then the baby grows into a little child. The skin is still soft, but it becomes a little textured. And the child gets older and their skin becomes tighter. And then adulthood, our skin becomes rough. And when we're old, it loses its elasticity. It takes a lifetime. But that baby, soft, silky, smooth skin slowly dies away. Some of us will die young. Some of us will die older. But rest assured, we will all die, unless Jesus returns before we die. We are all in the process of dying the moment we begin life as a human being. The Christian life also has such a process. It's half of the process we call repentance. Half of that process is the dying half. As a Christian, I am dying. You are dying. We read from Romans 6 once again, for we know that our old self was crucified with Christ so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. That verse tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, he took all our old selves up on that cross with him. All our sinful natures with him. Christ took all those old sinful selves upon himself as he died on the cross. They all died with him, yours and mine. Everyone who believes in Jesus as their Savior, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ Jesus. He made us right with God. God did something, you see. God did something about these bodies of sin running around. He must have thought, well, we got to get rid of them. We got to break the sin slavery cycle in human beings. And when Jesus died, all those old sinful selves died with him. Think about that. And that's where repentance for each one of us begins. At the cross, where your old self, my old self, were crucified with Christ Jesus. Repentance for us begins right there at the cross. But it doesn't end there. Jesus makes us right with God at the cross. He saves us. But then God says, now is when you knew free from sin human beings who put your trust in Jesus, now is when you get involved in this. God says, I got your repentance started. You get to keep it moving along. Or more precisely, you, in mysterious, wonderful, united partnership with the Holy Spirit, you get to keep moving your repentance along. Now, how do we know this? Listen to Colossians 3, verse 5, a command for us. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And a long list there is given as to what should be put to death. What a mysterious arrangement. God puts our sinful nature to death. It's crucified at the cross with Jesus Christ. It's a done deal. But then we too start putting our sinful nature to death, our old selves to death. How does that work? I sometimes think of it like this. A coach and his football team. He holds tryouts and he quickly realizes that no one trying out for the team is any good at all. They all play terribly. You can plug in whatever team you want here, okay? The point is they're terrible. But then the coach makes a decision. I'm going to have a team, despite how poorly they play, despite their lack of ability, despite the fact that they can't score a touchdown from the red zone, and the coach posts the team roster. He has declared them a team. In his mind, he envisions them in playing together as a team, winning together, losing together, learning together as a team. He sees them in his mind at the top of their game as division winners, conference winners. He sees them winning the Super Bowl, NFL champions, and he casts that vision to his team as he holds his first practice. You could even say he casts that vision in love. He knows this is who they are. My team, they're great. They're champions. But outside that vision in his head, in real life, the team is terrible. They have terrible habits, no skills, no talent, but the coach puts them to work anyway and says, you've got to get rid of all the rotten things you do when you play this game. And so they practice, they practice, they practice. And sure enough, they start to improve. You can see their progress. Their old habits are dying away, dying hard, but dying away. And they are doing it with good old hard work, spurred on by the spirit of the coach's vision and love in their hearts. Repentance kind of works like that, doesn't it? The old self is gone. God declared us a team. By the grace of God alone, he put us on his team. But now we have to start playing like his team, not like the way we used to play. We've got to get rid of that old rotten way of living. We've got to put it to death. And there you have it, right there. The first half of repentance. Killing off the old self. Putting to death the old self. Dying away of the old self. I'm dying away. Now, how do you do that? How do you hasten your dying away to sin? Let me ask you to engage in three things as you work to kill off your old self. Number one, every day tell God you are sorry for your sins. Every day. King David said in Psalm 51, verse 3, I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Beloved, David's not the only one for whom that holds true. We all know we sin. How do you kill that sin off? Get before God on your knees. Pick five sins you sinned each day. Tell God you are sincerely sorry for doing those sins. Pick five. Did I respect my mom and dad? There's one. Did I white lie to a friend? There's two. Did I cheat on a test? There's three. Did I look at something explicit online? There's four. Did I gossip about someone? There's five. Pick five. Get before God on your knees and tell him you're genuinely sorry for those sins. Do it every day. Make five sin confession a part of your prayer life every single day. Those sins are always before you. Well, give them to God then. Confess them. Get rid of them. Tell him you're genuinely sorry. Start putting the old self to death. It's dying away anyway. Get on with it. Number two, hate sin more and more. The Bible says there's a time to love and a time to hate, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8. And God has shown us when the time to hate is. Psalm 36 is a psalm about the wicked. And the biggest problem of the wicked, we find out in verse 2 of Psalm 36, is that they don't have a hatred for sin. On the other hand, Psalm 45, verse 7, is a psalm that praises the King of Israel. You have righteousness, you love righteousness, and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Hate wickedness. Hate sin like God hates sin. Romans 12, verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Oh, yeah, that's right. Christians need to be all about love, not hatred. What's the matter with you? Well, sincere love, that verse goes on, hates what is evil and clings to what's good. Part of love is hatred for evil and sin. So what do? Hate sin more and more. Hate your sins, my sins, any sins. I hate sin. You hate sin. When you confess your five sins each day, ask God to help you hate them. Ask him to renew your mind about them, to change your mind about these sins, to get you hating them. Hate sin more and more. Have you ever thought to pray for that? Now you will. And number three, run away from sin. Confess five sins, hate five sins, run from those sins. Do you remember what God said to Cain way back in the beginning? Genesis 4, verse 7. Cain was very angry at God for not accepting his offering, and God said, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. There's the warning. You know what God says is the simplest way, the simplest thing to do in that situation? It's to run. To flee. There's an incredible scene in Tolkien's The Fellowship of the Ring where Gandalf the hero is battling against an evil demon. And he's hanging off the edge of a bridge by his fingertips, a bridge that he himself destroyed in his fight against the demon. And the demon is called a Balrog. It's about to drag Gandalf down into the hellish depths unknown. And Gandalf's eight companions are looking on in horror, frozen, just steps away from this horrific scene, and a split second before Gandalf falls, he shouts at them, "Fly, you fools! Fly, you fools!" In other words, there's evil crouching all around, ready to devour you. Run! Flee! Get out of there! Fly, you fools! Go! Beloved, next time you're tempted to sin, maybe it's a party you're heading to and you know you shouldn't be going. You get to the door, turn the handle, but you turn around. You start running. Run home, run to a friend's, run to a restaurant, run to the Word of God. God has nailed your sinful nature to the cross. Run to the cross and see again whose sinful old self is nailed there. It's yours, it's mine. Run from the sin Jesus was crucified for. Fly, you fools! Confess 5 sins, hate 5 sins, run from 5 sins. And then shoot for 10. Friends, you and I, our old sinful selves, are dying away. It's the first half of repentance. God wants us to engage in the process, to get moving on it. Confess sin, hate sin, run from sin. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we know you have done an incredible thing through Jesus Christ at the cross. You've nailed our sinful natures on the cross with him, taken our sins away. You have made us right with you. You have saved us. But now you want us to continue that repentance, to continue killing off the old sinful nature that just hangs around us, seems like all the time. So, Father in heaven, we pray that we would be people down on our knees who confess our sins, that we would do that often, that we would do that daily, and that we would hate those sins more and more, hate them like you hate them, and that we would seriously and literally run from those sins. Lord, help us kill off the old sinful nature through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I'd like to invite the elders up at this time to just have a